As he was sharing, I was looking at my iPad, because we were just all together as pastors, thinking, what's the word for 2012? And he was sharing. As soon as he said the word hidden treasures, I looked down to a prophetic word that I received daily from a guy by the name of Ras Robinson and Bev. I don't know if you guys know, they give a word every day on, you know. They're actually quantum physics, if you ever, he was a scientist, but anyways, I believe, or she was. Anyhow, incredible fathers and moms in the faith, fathers and mothers in the faith. And as soon as he said that word, I looked down and I'm looking right at the word hidden treasures, exactly the same time. So I just don't find this to be a coincidence that Joyce said the word hidden treasures. And so here's what I want to talk to you about in regards to hidden treasures this morning. But let's pray. Father, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus, you would absolutely bless your people today in a mighty and powerful way. Father, I pray that our hearts would change, that we would facilitate the idea of seeking out treasures that come from you. Father, you're absolutely amazing in every way. Now, Father, we're so stuck sometimes in ourselves and we just kind of lose sight of it all. When you've got the plan all worked out, it's just absolutely amazing that you're working out every little detail of our lives, our circumstances. And Father, we hinder those circumstances, I mean, the details oftentimes, when we put our focus on ourselves and our emotions and everything that's going around, when they overwhelm us. And so, Father, I stand as I begin to share your word this morning, I stand in a posture of asking to forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for before your church, before your body. Forgive me, Lord, for putting my eyes on myself and not seeing those incredible treasures that you have. And the handiwork, the incredible handiwork, a master's handiwork, incredible things that you have for us. And Father, I ask that you would release me and set me free, Lord. In our families, Lord, in my family, and in every way, in every possible way, as I speak it out, Lord, I just ask that you would help me to come to a place where I just see your handiwork, your craftsmanship, your beauty, your loveliness, your fine detail, your fine, just incredible that you are, Lord, the way you're so incredible. Help us to be rejoicing at all times, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, so let me just get this sermon. It's not going to be long. Let me read a real incredible passage. This is not the theme passage this morning, but I just want to read it because as I was searching through the scriptures this morning, I came across this one, and I thought, well, you know what? I better share this one as well. So it's found in, you don't have to turn to Colossians here. It's in 2 Colossians 2. Colossians 2:2. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mysteries of God, namely, treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know what? In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I missed the word hidden there for some reason. Now, I'm just, let me talk to you about some of the things that happen in our pursuit of a building. In the pursuit of a building, we have understood or began to understand it's not a perfect building. Everything, you know, at times requires a little bit of what I'm going to talk in the second half of what I'm about to share, but requires a little bit of Why, if it was a treasure, understand this, it's something that needs to be sought out, right? Treasures don't just appear. So it takes a little bit of work. You need to seek a treasure, don't you? How many love treasure movies? Treasure Island, you know, and all this stuff, you know, just, you know, how many of you, like, how many remember Raiders of the Lost Ark? Did you like that? Yeah, it was great, right? And, you know, someone on a journey, you know, see, and you can imagine what it takes to, you know, seek out a treasure. And what are the treasures often in the movies? Gold, diamonds, you know, just incredible things. And, you know, your life is worth it all when you find that treasure. And so you can see the journey, and you can see the journey, you know, through a torrent of, you know, I would call it like feats, you know, things to achieve, you know, climbing Mount Everest, you know, just you see it all kind of thing, you know. It's a journey, you know. It's a threatening journey. It's sometimes a journey that, you know, comes with risk and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, in the pursuit of this building, I found some treasures that I want to share with you. And I'll call them hidden because they were really hidden. Here we are. We're thinking about, you know, I was thinking of the safety. And you, if you come down, and we hope you do because, you know, we'll see the building this afternoon. But I was thinking, you know, in the proposal, our lease agreement, I was thinking to, you know, talking to our realtor and saying, listen, you know, I don't like that side door. I really don't like that side door. In fact, if you're insistent that we use that side door as our main entrance going up to the place, because, you know, Big Daddy's is below, and, you know, that entrance up to the upper floor, it used to be all one building, they've blocked it up. The entrance from Big Daddy's, which is a big, nice double door front entrance. And so I'm thinking to myself, that side door, we got to do something about it. I'm just not comfortable with kids running out. So, you know, I've put in the lease offer bollards. You know, bollards are big metal, pipes, steel pipes filled with concrete. And then I can't remember, someone mentioned, well, you need a guardrail there as well so they don't just come right out. So you open that door because, you know, it's in the middle of it's, well, actually the roadway from the front parking to the back. So it's the side of the building. So I'm just a little cautious and, you know, and just cautious. I'm a little bit nervous is the proper word about that, about children coming out, about adults coming out, for that, about me coming out, you know, my excitement and everything else. So I put that in and he accepted. Then I'm thinking, you know what, there's got to be a way that we can go through the front. And I don't know, looking at it, I can't remember how this all happened, but saw a little corner of, you know, what's called a lintel, a steel beam. Just saw it protruding out of the brick a little bit in between the mortar line, or in the mortar line, you know. So went up there and investigated. I can see a little piece of steel. It is steel. So kind of proposed to the owner. I said, you know what, I want to go through the front instead. And it was a little bit of a battle, but he said, you get an engineer and you do it, as long as the engineer says it's okay. So fine, no problem, we'll do that. So I talked to the engineer, I call him, and he says, chip out that brick. If you think there's a lintel, chip out the top of that brick and expose that lintel. And I'm thinking to myself, what if there is no lintel there? Then now, well, I got to repair his building, you know. So I always somehow, you know, my mind works this way. You know, I was trained that this way in my career, former career, I guess. Why not expose the drywall on the inside and let's see if there's something on the inside? So here we are. Joe, I call our drywall specialist there. And all of a sudden we can see the lintel. And then, you know, we got the engineer, and then Bob went over and we Bob took the rest of the thing down. And we can see that actually even before this, I was given, you know, after a lot of kind of pursuing and being insistent, there's got to be more drawings in this place. Not this, you know, just one drawing. You know, this guy says, I don't know. There's nothing. The owner says, there's nothing. No more. I said, are you sure? And then 3 days later, he says, well, I found something. And in that drawing, I didn't even examine it. His realtor says, oh, by the way, I want to show you something. So what's that? And he shows me the original door in the plan. So okay, there's got to be that door there. So now I'm more eager to rip that out. So we rip it out, and, you know, it's been blocked up. It's never been opened. There's the door. And now I'm thinking, you know what? There's a lot of legalities or a lot of things that you have to do to meet building code. As soon as you touch an opening, you have to go, there's a new law now that you have to immediately go to barrier-free. Barrier-free means you have to make it wheelchair accessible, which we're planning on doing anyways, regardless. So here we are. Call the engineer. He comes on site, and I talk to the architect, and I said, do I need a permit? Well, not that I need a permit. He says, do we have to, you know, create a drawing? Do we have to? He says, if it's in the drawing, you don't even need a permit. You just have to reinstate what already is. In fact, the engineer says he did a visual on site. He says, you know, really, it's blocked up illegally because it's in the drawing. So I'm thinking that's a hidden thing. Like, God prepared this place incredibly. You know, this is just one thing. That was just the door. Sorry? Yeah. There's doors in your own life, too, when you think of it, that are hidden, that need to be uncovered. There's incredible doors in our lives. So just be thinking of your own doors for a second. Now, I can preach a whole message on doors. But I won't go there. Now, here's another thing. You know, we're talking through, and I'm with Bruce there. He's doing our electrical work, and we're talking through things. There's two services in the place, and I'm saying, I don't want two services. I only want one. I don't want to pay a delivery charge. You know how that works, you know, electrical. I'm saying, I just want one. So we made a proposal, and we're hashing it out, the owner and I, in a good way. Though he thought I was, you're cheap, he says. He tells me I'm cheap. And I says, well, I think it's being good steward, right? Yeah, exactly. So in the end, he says, come here, I want to show you something. And in the kitchen, there's these tables, and they're like eyesores. I'm thinking, no, we could break them up, but they're heavy, a monster of tables. I don't know what they're. Actually, I didn't even know they were tables. I thought they were, you know, part of the cabinetry or something that, you know, was like dinosaur cabinet tree kind of thing. So I want to show you something. Come here. So lift up this tabletop. So lift it up. Stainless steel salad bar. He left us 2 8-foot stainless steel salad bars. Going to be healthy. Well, you can use them for anything, not just salad, for that matter. Here's something else. And you'll have to see this. You'll have to come this afternoon to see this. I just happened to be by Candace's desk, you know, just talking to her, talking through some, you know, how church office goes, you know, on her case kind of thing. Anyhow. Something pops up on the screen, and someone from the contact center, Megan Elder, sent out an email to the staff. And we don't get, they probably don't know this, but we don't get staff emails. They have to put staff and pastoral staff for us to get them. So here's this email, and I say, hey, open that up. Her father had this big cherry cabinet that he was doing a job for a Jewish, I don't know if it was a Jewish lawyer or doctor, whoever it was. He had this cabinet made up for his house. It was almost $6,000, customly made. And I look at John. John's sitting next to Candace, and he says, grab it. I said, put a word in. So here we are, this cabinet, and we get this, you'd have to have a monster home to just, you know, you'd have to build your house specifically to house this thing. It was just monstrous. And so Friday we went up and Alex was there and Alex helped, you know, the screws, and because they said, well, you know, it's, they dumped it off at the airport campus. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at all the pieces and I'm saying, you want me to put that together? I don't think so. Anyway, so he came Friday, we put it together. And as I'm looking at this, like, he had glass put in the top. And it's really beautiful. Is it beautiful, Bruce? Solid cherry. Just solid, massive. And, you know, God kind of like is amazing. You know, I open up the drawer to the cabinet. And to me, it's like it's made, God knew that in time, that was going to leave his house and go to our church. And that was going to be our resource book table, like our book dispenser. Because it looks like when you open that up, it looks like, you know, you got a perfectly made to stack, you know, the hottest Christian book or I don't know, CDs or whatever. But it's just, and I'm looking at them and saying, oh God, this is incredible. Incredible. And then the other thing, you know, just treasure after treasure in terms of parking. Parking, you know, you got to understand, parking there's only 60 spots. But there's 300 spots at the tannery. And, you know, at the end of the day, when we're trying to work out, you know, will we have enough parking? Will we have to go to the city? Will we have to get a variance, you know, for the parking and all that kind of stuff? At the end of the day, 5 o'clock at the end of the day, I'm talking with our realtor, and I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to go, and actually, I went through this experience with Elizabeth, who knows the frickin', what's it called? Frickin' Harley place next door. Frickin' Leather, sorry. That's what it's called. I'm not using it. So, you know, we went and we talked, made ourselves, you know, introduced ourselves as neighbor, and he's really laid back, you know. And so we didn't, we said, yeah. And that's as far as we got with him. But I was thinking at the end of that same day, at the end of the day, I'm thinking actually to Joyce's, and this is how family works, right? Joyce says, you know, there's the Carpet One place across the street, you know, Horseman Klein, and he's a Christian, he's a believer, and, you know, you might want to talk to him about parking. And so I'm saying, let's go. And there's this, actually, I was with Alex. Alex, you were with me. Alex said, you sure it's late at night? I said, yep, right now we're going. We go there, and Albert, the owner, happens to be there. We may not have caught him otherwise, you know, so he's there. Because we're persevering a bit, you know, and just, no, my kids can wait until I get home for supper. And anyhow, so we talked to Albert, and Albert, you know, he's a good church guy. The place is closed on Sunday. Would you mind if we use your parking? He says, well, you know, they're not all mine. They've been expropriated. And so he's agreed. You know, in the end. And he says, you're going to probably need that in writing. Yeah, I'm going to need that in writing. Yeah. And then he shows me, as he's showing me the two buildings on the corner, here's a bit of a hidden treasure as far as I'm concerned. These are just little things. You know, there's so many if you examine your life. But as he's showing me his spot, I'm realizing that the gas station, which used to be next door to Big Daddy's, our place now, it's officially our place, they've closed it off. You know, every property that's been expropriated, the city has closed it off so people don't vacate it, you know, with their stuff or park or whatever. So they've fenced it all off. Next to Carpet One, they bought the two buildings at the corner there, the northeast corner. They bought those two buildings. I guess those buildings are probably going to be demolished or taken out, but they own them. But there's about, I don't know how many parking spots there, just tons. And they can't close that off because they cut off the access to Carpet One. And so as we were talking with Albert, Albert says, you know, they even plow this for us here. You know, he says the city plows it and people park. I mean, because they can't cut it off. So there's parking right there with a nice crosswalk, you know, just, you know, or traffic light, you know, so you can cross safely and stuff. So to me, it's just like more of a confirmation. And then the other thing, when we were talking, I'm just trying to wrap this up really quickly because I want Bruce to share for a few minutes on some of the treasures as well. As we are negotiating, and you know, parking is becoming an issue, and you know, this, the Lord gives you wisdom. You know how the scripture really clearly says at times, don't prepare, you know, before you go before government and officials, and don't prepare, don't go through your mind what you're going to say. And there must be a good reason for that, because you could blow it, you know, in your own intellect, in your rational, you know, way of thinking. Don't prepare, just go. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God will be upon you, and you'll have the right word. And it was like that in negotiations, because we were talking, and the owner says, well, this place here, you know, we're signing the deal, is 50-50. 50% you and 50% him. The below. Well, I say, okay. So half that sign in the front is mine. Yes. 50-50. So that escapes our, you know, our discussion when we're signing the lease. Then he goes to say, and I want you to know the parking incentive program here. And how the church, and how, you know, I have to pay. So I'm not, I don't want to be responsible for that. So if there's anything, you pay. I said, hey, hang on. This is not part of the lease. I don't see anything about it. Oh, I just want you to know. When it comes, then, you know, it's yours. And I said, look, I'm not even entertaining that thought. I have to answer to a board. You know, I represent a community. I'm not a businessman who's, you know, coming in here and taking the place. I've, you know, we've got a community, a church behind us. We're representing people. So I'm not going to say anything about that. I can't talk to you. And the realtor says, well, I actually brought it up. His realtor says, you know, this has nothing to do with the owner. This is me, because I want you to confront things now. And I said, listen to me, my friend, Stephen. You know human nature the way it is? We're going to be confronting things till the day we die. You don't need to confront everything this right now. But since you did, fine. So I said to him, and this is during our fast, and I, you know, this has got to be God, because I don't know. I don't know if I would have had the wisdom at the moment to do this. But I said, first of all, you're asking me to pay something. But remember, 50-50, right? He's kind of like now shaking a bit, because he's already cut his deal with the landlord downstairs, or the tenant downstairs. So I said, you know, if I get a bill, then is it 50-50 as well then? And he says to me, okay, if there is a bill, I will pay the 50 for downstairs. So now, I said, listen, I'm not even saying I'm paying it, but I mean, you haven't even thought about the 50-50 yet. And then I said, how many spots is there if they're 50-50? He says, well, you said there was 60 spots. I said, 30 then? 30? He said, yep, 50-50. And I said, well, you know something? We're a place of worship. And I need you to know something, that the way the city sees parking in a place of worship is 9 square meters equals 1 spot. Same for a restaurant. 9 square meters. So we're short spots then. I said, the only catch is this. It's 9 square meters for our worship space. for a place of worship. It doesn't include the kitchen. Doesn't include. So all I need is 29 spots, and so you're going to have me pay for something that I don't need? It's just like, they looked at me and they said, who is this guy? Because the downstairs requires more, because according to the restaurant, it's gross space. But according to a worship place, it's only the worship space, which means the sanctuary. So it doesn't include the classrooms, it doesn't include the youth room, doesn't include the foyer, it doesn't include the bathrooms. Thank you, Jesus. The other thing too, just like so you know, hidden treasures. We were ready to just give up on this deal. Let me just read the scripture really quick. It says this. It says, Proverbs 2, verse 4 to 6, if you seek her as silver and search her for her, if you search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And I love to pair that together with 2 Peter 1, which just says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Listen to that. His divine power, it comes from heaven itself, has given us everything we need. Everything. That's incredible. Lay your hand on that for a bit and lay your heart on that. He's given us everything? Wow, that's awesome. That's amazing. Everything. Everything's covered. So, nothing missing. Exactly. Nothing short. Look at the other scripture here. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven. You want to talk about the kingdom? Well, this is the kingdom. Jesus himself says it. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And this whole theme of, I didn't even realize, you know, it just leaped out of the pages last week, hidden treasure. And here I am now getting inundated with this whole thing about hidden treasures and experiencing hidden treasures left, right, and center. So, amazing, amazing, amazing. God is absolutely amazing. He wants to look after you in every way. Listen, you know, when you see and read 2 Peter 1, there's also this part of it. How are we going to make it through so that we can actually uncover the treasures in our lives? Well, these are the kinds of things you need. And I know we're running out of time, but Bruce, I'm going to see if I can fit you in here. These are the kinds of things, because it, you know, talks about it. It says, for this very reason, make every effort. So this is what the scripture is saying. Make every effort to add to your faith. What are you going to add to your faith? Goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, isn't that incredible? In increasing measure. So you get a measure here today, you know, it's increasing. So if you have a little bit of godliness, well, let's hope you have a lot. But if, okay, let's move away from godliness. If you have a little bit of perseverance, and you're not satisfied with the amount that you have, if you've got a little bit of patience, but not satisfied, and ask God for more, he's going to give it to you in a measure that's increasing. So you'll have more tomorrow and enough. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we want to be productive in our lives? We do. We absolutely do.